Welcome. This is Jazz, Just the Way We Like It. My name is Alfonso Severos, and this is my weekly jazz podcast, recorded live at Brick Arts in downtown Brooklyn, the People's Republic of Brooklyn. We play the classic jazz song of the 1950s, the 1960s, and the 1970s. Those songs I listened to as a young man. And here I am now playing them for your pleasure. And also to introduce to a younger generation that fabulous creative American art form known as jazz. We discuss politics and social issues. I'm in the studio, as always, with my longtime friend and co-host, Lawrence Williams. Hey, Larry, brother, how you doing?
All right, what's happening, Fonz? How are you today?
I'm good, man, I'm good. The weather's nice, you know, high 70s, might hit the 80s.
Yeah.
Feeling good, brother.
Yeah.
Well, except we need some sun. Yesterday, I was out on the boardwalk sunbathing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but it was cool, you know.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. But, well, folks, I live in Brighton Beach in a block and a half from the boardwalk and the beach, which is the only good thing about Brighton Beach, by the way.
Oh.
I mean, it's truthful for me. There's no other reason. It's a cultural desert, you know. But the beach, man, it's worth it.
Yeah.
I can go to Brighton Beach, walk down the Coney Island Beach, ride my bike on the boardwalk, or go to the Manhattan Beach and barbecue. So, you know, Manhattan Beach is like being in the Bahamas. On Brighton Beach, man, it's like Jamaica, and Coney Island Beach is like being someplace else, brother.
You got three different beaches all on the same strip.
Oh, yeah. So I try to make the most of it and enjoy the water and the sun, even though I do not swim, Larry, like a lot of African-Americans our age.
Yeah, definitely.
We didn't have the opportunity to go swimming, so we never learned to swim. You know, that's like soccer. We don't know nothing about no soccer. We never played no soccer. I didn't hear the word until I was an adult.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't know what it was until then.
Yeah, man. But now, you know, it's a very popular sport.
Yeah.
You know, we'll find out it's an international popular sport.
Yeah.
You know, we knew basketball, football, and baseball.
That was it.
That was it, folks. Hey, we always start this podcast out with a song, a poem, something that addresses the issue of social justice. And I'm excited about this one because this speaks to a current day event. This speaks to the student protests at Columbia University. Hands Hall, H-I-N-D. I think it's Hands. She was the young lady, Palestinian girl, 13, 14, who was on the phone or on her telephone screaming about a, they were in a car trying to get out, and civilians, regular people. And the army, Israeli army, opened fire, killed the mother and father, and she was screaming for help on the phone, and and people were talking to and say they're on their way. This is the health workers, you know, the volunteers. They're supposed to be, you know, under international law, protected. They opened up fire and killed that young girl. So when the students in Columbia started this movement, and I'm so proud of them, they took over Hamilton Hall. And Hamilton Hall was the place in 1968 that the students in the Columbia takeover, where they took over, the building they took over. And they renamed it Hinds, H-I-N-D, Hinds Hall. And this rapper, man, I never heard of this rapper, Mac Moore, brother out of Seattle, Washington, man. Interesting story with him because, you know, he had in his early days fought and overcome his demons from addiction, and then, you know, got very active and involved in the whole recovery movement for people with that problem, and then moved on to social issues. And man, he hit a home run with this piece that he did. And you know, folks who know me, you know, I ain't crazy about rap music. But this is called Hines Hall, folks. Just listen to this. Listen to the words.
Yeah. The people, they won't leave. What is threatening about divesting and want a peace? The problem isn't the protests, it's what they're protesting. It goes against what our country is funding. Block the barricade until Palestine is free. Block the barricade until Palestine is free. When I was 7, I learned a lesson from Cuban Eazy-E. What was it again? Oh yeah, fuck the police. Actors and badges protecting property in a system that was designed by white supremacy. But the people are in the streets. You could pay off Meta, you can't pay off me. Politicians who serve by any means, APAC, Koofy, and all the companies. You see, we sell fear around the land of the free. But this generation here is about to cut the strings. You could ban TikTok, take us out the algorithm, but it's too late. We've seen the truth, we bear witness. Seen the rubble, the buildings, the mothers and the children, and all the men that you murdered, and then we see how you spin it. Who gets the right to defend and who gets the right of resistance? It's always been about dollars and the color of your pigment. But white supremacy is finally on blast, screaming free Palestine to their home at last. We see the lies and claiming it's anti-Semitic to be anti-Zionist. I seen Jewish brothers and sisters out there and riding in solidarity and screaming free Palestine with them organizing and learning and finally cutting ties with a state that's gotta rely on apartheid system to uphold and occupy and violent history been repeating for the last 75. The NECPA never ended, the colonizer lied. It's students in tents posted on the lawn, occupying the quad is really against the law. And a reason to call and the police and their squad. Where does genocide land in your definition, huh? Destroying every college in Gaza and every mosque, pushing everyone in the rock and dropping bombs. The blood is on your hands, Biden, we can see it all. And fuck no, I'm not voting for you in the fall. Undecided, you can't twist the truth. The people out here united, never be defeated when freedom's on the horizon. Yet the music industry's quiet, complicit in their platform of silence. What happened to the artist? What you gotta say? If I was on a label, you could drop me today. I'll be fine with it, cause the heart fed my page. I want a ceasefire, fuck a response from Drake. What you willing to risk? What you willing to give? What if you were in Gaza? What if those were your kids? If the West was pretending that you didn't exist, you want the world to stand up, and the students finally did. Let's get it.
Wow, brother, wow, that was, the message was powerful. I know it might offend some people, but not me, not me at all. I am in 100% agreement. You know, that Mac Moore is Caucasian.
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah,
he's been around for a little while.
Yeah,
but I was surprised at the words that were coming. That's coming out of his mouth.
Oh, he laid it on the line, brother.
Yeah, I mean, it was right there. But yeah, Mac Moore has been a white rapper, but he's good. He's recognized too. He's recognized. In the hip hop community, as a good rapper.
What you know about the hip hop community, Larry? Man?
Hey, man, you know, hey, I got a son that's a part of the hip hop community.
Okay.
So I get it from him.
Yeah, I got a son too, baby. He don't tell me nothing. You know I don't want to hear it.
I started buying hip hop records a long time ago. I like the beat, not necessarily the words in there, but this is powerful right here.
Oh yeah,
this is very powerful.
That's just recently done. I mean,
it had to be
Hamilton Hall, man. Yeah. So you know, I'm always impressed with songs that have a social message.
I'm surprised. I didn't know that he was political.
I did a little reading up on him, man. I never heard of him before.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not.
I didn't realize he was out in the West also. I always thought that
he was. Yeah, Seattle, Washington. He's out
of. Yeah,
out of.
Okay.
Wow, man. So that's our song for social justice, man. If you dug it, you dug it. If not, man, sorry about that.
Yeah,
you know, it's freedom of expression.
Yep.
So, and we need to get, if you dug it, we need to get the word out there, man. Because that brings us to part of our discussion today, man. It's like 140, 150 colleges that had some kind of student activity against the crimes against humanity being committed in Gaza. You know, I can call it genocide, but there's so many people claiming it's not genocide, including the White House. Then let's just call it crimes against humanity. That's equally as bad. Yeah. And it doesn't seem to be improving. You know, there was about five colleges, Larry, that started the encampment, and this is all about divesting the college's investment in companies that produce weapons, or companies that support the war going on in Gaza. And, well, you know, that's what students did. I mean, I remember when they did it with apartheid, and they did it with Vietnam, and they got colleges and universities to pull out. About five of them, no one said absolutely we're doing it. Five of them came to an agreement with the students that we will take an honest look and have an honest discussion. And Rutgers, University of Minnesota, Middleton, and a few other colleges. And they took that approach as opposed to sending in the police. Larry, things being what they be, and the semester is over, do you think this movement will grow? And if it comes off the college campus, only one place it can go, the streets.
Yeah. That's a good question, because the fire is still burning right now. So, and the summer is not here yet. So usually when the summer gets around, things start to warm up besides the weather. So it's a very good possibility that it may grow. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
Because the commitment of the college students usually is a lot greater than what happens in society as a whole. But anyway, they're usually leading in terms of change. So I'm hoping that maybe the premier of the prime minister of Israel just disregards what the U.S. is saying to him, continues to do what he wants to do.
He's at a crossroad now, Larry. You know, he beginning to move into Rafah.
Yeah,
ordered 100,000 people to move. They started some, you know, airplane activity, and Biden stopped one of the arms shipments. He didn't stop it altogether, and he's giving this guy some pretty severe warning, you know, on not invading Rafah.
Yeah.
But this guy, what we don't see in the American media is the resistance that's occurring in Israel. There's constant protests and demonstrations occurring in Israel for him. And he knows as long as he keeps the war going, he's going to stay in power.
Yeah, Netanyahu.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And they just had a peace agreement in which Hamas, what's his name? Is it Hamas?
Hamas
agreed upon. It was a three-part agreement, and it looked pretty fair. You know, stop the fighting, withdrawing troops, sending captives on both sides stop the drones and bombardment and beginning to rebuild Gaza. And Hamas accepted it.
Yeah.
He rejected it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think any agreement.
He's not looking for an agreement.
No, he's not looking for an agreement.
He's looking to crush them totally.
Yeah, well, that is going to cost him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because the U.S. businesses, if businesses, as you know, being a former businessman, it's all about public image.
Oh, yes.
And yeah, yeah. Public image, and it's beginning to change. You know, we saw that in Vietnam, you know?
Yeah.
And then the public image changed, the business would change, the politics would change, everything would change.
Yeah.
And we're not the only one where people are talking about divesting in Israel.
Yeah.
Other countries.
Well, I mean, as long as this guy is in power, that's, you know, that's what they're going to do. He's not being reasonable in terms of those things seem to be pretty fair. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you may want to negotiate one or two of them.
Yeah.
But overall, that seemed to be a pretty fair an agreement that his people worked out.
Oh, yeah.
With Hamas. Now, why do you have those people working out something for you when you're not going to listen to their suggestion?
Yeah, well, you know, you said it, man. I've never had no intentions.
Yeah, so he had no intentions of doing anything other than to crush them.
Yeah.
And that means irregardless of the collateral, you know, and that's a shame. And when it comes to people losing their homes, losing their ability to work, losing their ability to eat, to sleep. It's just horrible.
All the schools in Gaza has been destroyed.
Yeah.
All the hospitals have been destroyed.
Now, that's crazy.
Yeah.
There's no reason to go there unless you want to kill everybody in that.
Yeah.
You know, that just doesn't have an effect on Hamas. That has an effect on the Palestinian people, that are law-abiding people that are living within the land that they are living in right now. You know, it's just not right what they're doing.
Yeah, well, I hope things change because, you know, I really think that we can't afford to get Trump in, but by the same token, you know, it's going to be hard to vote for Biden. Maybe people will vote for a third party. But if he changes his topics, his tactics, and he's beginning to see some of the light, you know, and I take my hat off to the students, that he's like every other politician that's pushed in the corner, may have to react.
Yeah, yeah,
And make some changes.
Yeah.
You know?
And well, when you said that he stopped the shipment of arms to the country.
Yeah.
That's a start.
Yeah. That's what I said, yes.
Yeah, that's a good start. Mm-hmm. Because now he's telling Netanyahu that I'm probably not pronouncing the name correctly, but he's showing him that he means business.
Well, you know, Larry, he said a few weeks ago when people were protesting about his strategy in Gaza, he says, look, I will not allow Israel to go into Rafah to a major invasion. Now, he put his foot in his mouth.
Yeah.
So, you know, he has to do something.
Right.
Because Trump will eat him up on a campaign trail.
Yeah, because that shows weakness on his part.
Yeah,
it shows very... The fact that this guy just went right over him and did what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
When he had an alternative. He had an alternative.
Yes, he did. And here's the thing. When the people in Gaza and in Rafah found out that Hamas approved
the agreement. Yeah.
They were in the streets celebrating.
Yeah,
because they were happy as hell.
They thought it was over.
Yeah. And then they found out.
And then he comes and bombs them.
Yeah.
That's dirty to pool, by the way.
Yeah, well. I know. Yeah. That's
yeah, that's the other thing that's happening with it.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, all right, Larry, man. Wow, what can I say, brother? These some tough situations these days.
Yeah. It's not an easy thing that's going on.
Yeah. All right, folks. If you remember the last podcast, we ended with Joe Henderson, and I was only able to play one of his records. So we're going to play one or two more of Joe Henderson records. And here's a piece by Joe Henderson. It's appropriate to the topic we were talking about. It's called Power to the People. With Herbie Hancock, Jack DeJohnette, and Ron Carter. Herbie Hancock, Jack DeJohnette, and Ron Carter. Joe Henderson, Power to the People. Sit back, enjoy.
Thank you.
1973 recording Power to the People with Joe Henderson on tenor sax, Ron Carter on bass, Herbie Hancock on piano, and Mike Lawrence on the trumpet. How'd you like this piece, Larry?
Yeah, it was very good, man. Herbie on the keyboards was really pounding it out, man, really did. And Joe Henderson on that
tenor sax.
Tenor sax was really playing it, playing hard, man, hard.
I liked
the way that there was a part in the beginning that was a different type of a note. It's like a flurry type of note that he was playing, and that was really bringing it out too. That was a different piece.
It was. They did some creative playing on this. You know, Herbie Hancock was playing some creative chords, man. And the trumpet player, Mike Lawrence, who I really don't know.
He was good, too.
Was
very
good.
Yeah.
Joe Henderson, folks. That's, you know, we had to play another piece by him because we didn't have enough time on the last podcast. Well, we're going to move on because today's podcast featured, of course, a song by Joe Henderson, Farrell Saunders, and Johnny Hartman. Ah, two giants in jazz, two giants, you know. We got to pay homage to Farrell, man, because Farrell was the prophet of the 60s and 70s, man.
Yeah, he definitely was.
Yeah,
and Brooklyn East and all.
Oh, man, you know, for us, our generation, man, that was into this music, man, Farrell was the man.
Yeah.
I mean, he set the pace. He just set the tone. He captured what we were feeling.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, here's a piece.
I had the privilege of meeting him when I was working at a branch of Chemical and on Broadway and Spring Street. And he opened up an account at that branch at that time, and then had the privilege of meeting him. There's a lot of music around that area, in Soho.
During that time,
there was a lot. So it was really good. It was really
good. Yeah, there was a lot of the lofts and musicians in that time. Those days are gone.
No, those lofts were very cheap at that time.
Yeah.
Now forget about it.
It's the same thing with the Dumbo.
The same thing, same way that it happened. Get gentrified and those stockbrokers get in there and then prices go up.
Well, this city has always been in a state of change and movement.
Yeah, flux. It's always been in flux.
Yeah, because, you know, we grew up in the projects. Way back then, a good portion of the population was white.
Yeah.
In the Marcy projects. And we had, there were very little Hispanics.
Yeah. There was one in my building.
I had one family in my building.
Yeah, I had one in my building.
But now, man, there's a significant portion of the population in the Marcy Projects. So, you know, things always change, folks. Everything seems to be in a state of flux. But let's get back to Farrell, man. Here's a piece that I love. Farrell Saunders from his Astro Travel album, Thimby. And this was done in 1969. Enjoy. Oh, that bass. Thank you. Thimbe, Pharoah Sanders, man, there's something about that beat and music that's just uplifting.
Yeah, it is such a beautiful song.
Yeah. You know, you can't help but move to it.
The percussion that's in there, oh, God. Yeah. Oh, it's a really great, great song. I love hearing that.
Yeah.
Any day of the week.
Yeah. Here's another one by Pharoah that people don't play much, and there's two versions to this song. There's a short version, and then there's the long version. And we're going to play the long version. This is, I remember when this came out, Pharoah Sanders, Love Is Everywhere.
Oh, yes.
And we need that now, man, with all the madness occurring on this planet. You know, in Gaza, in Ukraine, in the Congo, in Haiti. Oh, do we need it? And so many other places. Pharoah Sanders.
Love is everywhere.
Pharrell Saunders, Love Is Everywhere. And there's more to it.
Thank you.
Wow, that's the full version. Love is everywhere. Phil Saunders, Larry.
Yeah, man, that is beautiful, man. I just like the way that his voice, his uniqueness in his voice when he did vocal part.
Yeah,
that and then horse. That hoarse voice, and then he went into the instrumental. And this is one of the few times that I've heard him play without improvisational sax. He pretty much stayed to the same tune in terms of like the melody. The melody was there. Because usually he goes up and he'll take you out and then come back. This time he stayed the course, and it was so good, and you could hear the notes so clear. It was a great. I mean, that's a great piece.
Yeah.
I don't remember hearing it that particular album, and
I used to play. We used to play the short version.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. But this must be a whole album.
It is.
Okay.
It's the side of an album. Yeah.
Yeah.
The name of the album is "Love Is Everywhere."
Okay. Yeah. That is. Yeah. Because he usually does that. It's usually done with what's his name? The piano player.
Lonnie Liston Smith.
Yeah, usually that's what he did. And Lonnie's singing on that too, I think. Or Lonnie has a version of that. I'm not sure which one. Yeah.
All right, man. We're going to play one more Farrell. Man, this is a nice one, folks. From the Karma album, Colors. Farrell Saunders.
Blue. sends to us his rain.
Powerful.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. He has a great voice, Leon Thomas.
Yeah. Well, let's see, switch it up a little, man. That was a couple Farrell tunes for you. And we.
That's a variation, too. Man.
Yeah. I didn't want to play the popular stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's always played. I wanted to play some of these other pieces. Get a little Johnny Hartman here, maybe with a little train with him. And this one is called What Is There to Say, Johnny Hartman. This was done in 1955, so this is before his joining and singing with John Coltrane playing.
What is there to say? What is there to do? The dream I've been seeking has practically speaking come true. What is there to say? How will I pull through? I knew in a moment contentment and home meant just you. You are so lovable, so livable. Your beauty's just unforgivable. You're made to marvel at. Words to that effect. What is there to say? What is there to do? My heart's in a deadlock. I'd even face wedlock with you. I'd even face wedlock.
What is there to say with a voice, Larry?
Yeah, yes. It's really a great voice. Really,
I know,
a great voice.
But he didn't take off for a lot of folks until he hooked up with Train.
Oh, wow.
Johnny Hartman and John Coltrane. And this is one of their most famous pieces. Bill Cosby Show made it famous. My One and Only Love. John Coltrane.
Love.
pure gold.
Yeah, Train on when he plays a ballad, oh man, does it come through? And Johnny Hartman, that voice, that baritone is just so sweet. Man. Yeah, oh my God.
Wow, man, we had to play some Johnny Hartman in there, man. Wow, yeah. Larry, it's that time, good brother.
Oh wow, yeah.
Yeah, folks. I hope everyone enjoyed this podcast. You know, we played a little Joe Henderson, some Farrell Saunders, and some Johnny Hartman, and had a pretty good discussion on some relevant topics. Oh man, Larry, time flies when you're having fun, buddy.
Yeah, that's for sure, man. I agree with you 100%, and I definitely had a lot of fun today.
Yeah, man. I thank you for being here.
Thank you for allowing me to be here, Al.
Hey, no, my pleasure, good buddy. Folks, as always, we're going to go off on a song by someone I recently got introduced to, Cecilia McLaurin Salvant. She's a singer, man, a jazz singer. She's up there, man, with Samara Joy and Jasmina Horn. And this is a piece called Over the Rainbow. So, folks, as always, until the next time, peace and love.
And the raindrops tumble all around. Heaven opens a magic lane. When all the clouds darken up the skyway, there's a rainbow highway to be found. Leading from your window pane to a place behind the sun. Just a step beyond the like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where you'll find me, somewhere over the rainbow. Bluebirds fly. Fly over. then why can't I? If happy little bluebirds fly beyond the rainbow, why?